Podtacular episode 398. Happy birthday, Halo 4, for November 7th, 2013. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And we're here to celebrate Halo 4's birthday! Yay! Woo! Happy birthday, Halo 4!
Happy birthday to you!
Wait, we can't sing that, that's copyright.
Yeah, I know, but as long as it's less than however many seconds, it's fair use.
What,
and
it,
I'll
seven
never
seconds?
Know about it
anyway. yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah. Yes, that's always bothered me. Somebody needs to buy up the rights to Happy Birthday and just put it out there so anybody can use it.
That's
so
weird.
This is open domain. You just do whatever you want.
You would think that's something that you just grow up on.
I mean,
what's up Disney's butt to make them... anyways, this is a Halo podcast, not a
Disney.
Legal rights.
Disney owns the rights to Happy Birthday.
Isn't it Disney? Disney?
Maybe. I have no clue.
Yeah, I thought it was Disney.
That's odd, but it doesn't surprise me. But anyway, it's Halo 4's birthday. 1 year.
Yes. 1 year ago from technically yesterday as of recording this podcast.
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
Yay, 1 year Woo! Anniversary for Halo 4. So, lots of stuff, of course, as we've seen Halo kind of grow and go through some difficult stages in its life, no doubt, with title updates and map pack releases and community feedback and criticisms and all that delightful stuff. But we have some interesting festivities to cover for the birthday of Halo 4. By the time you're listening to this podcast, most of the stuff is probably gone by now or done with. But as far as kind of covering what happened, we're here to fill you in on the deets. So heading straight over to the bulletin, just going to drop feet first into it. We have, of course, some interesting birthday celebrations that went on at the 343 Studios. So Bravo actually kind of recounts a little bit of story when Halo 4 first came out. And of course, the weekend before Halo came out, there was MLG Dallas and there was Halo 4. And I actually was there. I covered it a little bit and posted some articles and photos and all that good stuff on it and got to see Bravo there. And that was 2 days before the launch of Halo 4. And then he got flown out to Machinima HQ to cover some Halo 4 content. And from that, I mean, since then he's been brought on by 343 and now he's working there doing great stuff. So shout outs to you, Bravo, for making it over there and keeping it real. Glad to know we have a friend over there in the studio keeping things real and keeping BS Angel in line, or at least trying to, at least. Of course, there's lots of stuff that they probably did for the celebration of the birthday, and they had a cake cutting, obviously, and Bravo got to suit up in one of the Master Chief costumes that they have there, or outfits, or whatever you want to call it. So he dressed up as a Master Chief and got to cut the cake. And there was Mini Chief there. Also, yay, Mini Chief.
Woo!
So
it ain't a real party without Mini Chief.
No, it's not. So it was cute. Of course, Mini Chief is the son of one of the workers there at 343 Industries. So, of course, he was there rocking the suit. And if you're watching the stream right now, you'll see the vine that they posted. And it's all nice and fun. But yeah, so lots of cool things, I'm sure, happened at the 343 Studios, which none of us will probably know about. There was an interesting video that came out earlier today as well, as of this recording, and it was just some of the funny stuff that they did with the engine as they were going through development cycles and everything. Have you seen this video yet, Brent?
No.
So if you go to Halo Waypoint right now, and I believe it's the first headline that's currently there, there is a video that they posted, and what they basically showed off was some of the stuff that they did in the engine to help playtest some stuff. So they had like man cannon launchers on the back of Warthogs. They had just really weird effects on them altering the faces of some of the characters and just really messing around and making weird looks of things. So it's more of just kind of a random, here's kind of the funny stuff that we've seen with Halo or with the engine that they created, but nothing too kind of out there as far as serious stuff that we were looking at. And they teased this yesterday, Wednesday, about being able to see some of the video that they were talking about watching, that they watched at the office, just kind of going through some of the stuff of the history of Halo, their development background, and just kind of taking a look back at it. And I was hoping we'd see something a little more serious, but we didn't. But anyways.
You can't be too serious, especially when it comes to game development.
Yeah.
It always bothered me. Like, if I got into video game development, would it diminish my love of video games? Like, that was a legitimate fear. I mean, you think about it, you work on video games all day, every day. Eventually, you're going to get burned out on them a little bit.
I can see that.
So, I mean, it's like a blooper. I mean, I haven't seen this video.
If you're passionate about it, though, I don't think there's going to be really any issue of... I think there'll be times that you would want to, like, take a break, but I don't think you'll be completely burned out, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's an interesting concept, though.
But, yeah, so if you're in development, I can imagine, doing crazy things with your engine. I mean, I haven't seen this video yet, so I have no idea, like, what's in it or what they did, but... I can imagine having fun with the physics engine in Halo would be one of the perks of being a developer.
Yeah, I was trying to open it up for the stream, but right now my Silverlight plugin isn't loading for Firefox for some reason. So, yeah, that kind of sucks. But it's currently the first item in the blog roll on Halo Waypoint. So just go check it out. You can find it. It's just Halo 4 Look Back is what the article is titled. So you can go check it out there. And... it's just lots of silly stuff that they could do with the engine. Moving on, yesterday we had the Halo 4 Birthday Fiesta playlist. So if you had the chance to play Halo 4 on Halo 4's birthday, then you got to probably play in this playlist, which was essentially FFA Fiesta Slayer. So take the FFA Fiesta Slayer that you normally have, except this time they give you a... funky armor color that's purple and bright, well, bright purple and bright green, and then you have the Grunt Birthday Party skull effect on whenever you die. So it makes
I think the Grunt Birthday Party effect should be active all the time for every single game type ever.
For every playlist, including Team Throwdown?
For every game after this, too. Like Halo 5, just automatically set to default Grunt Birthday Party skull.
Oh, gosh. That would be ridiculous, and I don't think competitive players would appreciate that too much, especially...
Well, I mean, Halo 4, apparently, they didn't care too much about the competitive players. It's kind of a callback to the casual players, so, I mean, if we're going to go down that path, we might as well go all the way down that path. You know?
I guess. If you want to put it that way, sure, might as well.
If you're going to be absurd, you might as well be fully absurd.
343 has hired people that have this kind of fun mentality, though. So,
yeah.
It's a little bit different than what Bungie's was. It's a different feel of humor and that kind of stuff. But as far as the kind of harmless humor, it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I love that.
I think Bungie did it a little bit, or I like Bungie's a little bit better because it's a little more subtle. But
yeah, not like in your face.
Yeah, it's subtle, and then when you see it, it's like, oh, that's really, really funny. Where this is just like, ha, 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 that's kind of funny. So, this is a little more in-your-face funny than Bungie, where it's a little more, hey, see this? Yeah, this is funny kind of thing.
Yeah. It's kind of like they're pushing it. It's like, you're going to laugh at this. This is funny, and you will acknowledge it as funny, whether you like it or not.
'Tis funny? Very funny?
But,
Anyways.
Yeah, I don't know about Fiesta FFA. I mean, I've played it before, but generally just everybody having different weapons. If you're not on teams, it's kind of hectic.
Well, what it breaks down to is snipers and launchers at that point. Could you go around scouring the map for a beam rifle or a binary rifle or a rocket launcher or a fuel rod? That's essentially what it boils down to. And there's the occasional railgun and sword and hammer and all that stuff, but you rarely see people using like any of the spawning weapons like the rifles or the pistols or anything like that. As I mean, it's Fiesta Slayer. It's something that's fun. And it was only up there for 24 hours, so it's no big deal.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying this was like a game breaker. I'm just saying I wasn't extremely interested in it because it was FFA. And generally, just anytime you give a whole bunch of people random weapons and have them fight each other, it gets kind of crazy.
Okay, that makes sense.
I enjoy the team Fiesta game types. Because then at least, you know, I mean, you're only fighting half of the people on the map as opposed to everybody. I mean, you turn a corner and, you know, five different people have a rocket launcher. You're screwed. I mean,
yep. Fair enough. That makes, yeah, I can see where you're coming from now. It was more just fun. It did get a little hectic, but we played it last night for Wacky Wednesday and a lot of people had fun. So it was good times. And of course, if you did get to play in the playlist last night, then you are kind of entered into this thing where you can get the special Guilty Spark emblem. And they're going through and rewarding that manually in the back end. So, and then next week or so, if you play in the playlist, then you'll get the emblem unlocked in your options to choose from. So we'll wait to see when that comes out, and we'll let you know when it does. Next on the matchmaking playlist update, we have the next week, which is going to be the return of the multi-team playlist, and that's going to be the new rotational one. So in the community choice poll last week, we had the multi-team Regicide, the Team King Snipers, and the Rock and Rails, and the community voted multi-team Regicide. So my vote won. Yay!
Yay!
Yes. I'm looking forward to this.
It's always fun to vote for a winner.
Much more than Shock and Ricochet. Oh my gosh. That game type is so bad. Although, I was playing with Green Skull and a couple of RUL people last night, and we actually had a fun game of Shotgun Ricochet. And I think that was because we were just completely wiping the floor with the other team. But it was the first game of Shotgun Ricochet and probably the only game of Shotgun Ricochet that I had fun with. But other than that, it's just give me vanilla Ricochet or Ricochet and it's fine. And I know this is multi-team Regicide. I got that mixed up. But just on the tangent from what it was for last week with the Shotgun Ricochet. I guess you didn't get a chance to play it if you just got your Xbox back, right?
No, but playing Ricochet on the pit is, I always used a shotgun. I used it frequently, mostly for base defense. So that was always kind of a real fun, viable option for me. And I thought Ricochet with, you know, everybody has shotguns at start would be fun, but I didn't get to play it. So really have no clue. People say it sucked and I believe them.
Okay.
But, I mean, the shotgun is still effective in Ricochet game types, especially when you're the only one with a shotgun. So just remember that. Just because
Shotgun Ricochet... Especially in the closer quarters. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I'm saying you. The problem with the ball carrier is that if he gets close to you, you're screwed. I mean, he's got his one-hit kill ball in his hand, so having that shotgun there is kind of nice. I also like throwing the ball at somebody. Like, I'll get a shotgun, pick the ball up, then throw it at somebody, and then immediately... You know, to counter that with a shotgun blast to the face, and they can't retaliate because they got the ball in their hand.
Right.
So, I don't know. I guess Shotgun Ricochet failed in many ways. We'll see if multi-team Regicide suffers the same fate, but seems like a more balanced out.
I don't think it will be. I think
enjoy. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the multi-team Regicide is going to be a little bit more accepted. I have a strong feeling over the Shotgun Ricochet because I've been playing it recently and a lot of people didn't like it. And I've even had people that I played with who voted for it originally said they didn't like it. So, oh well, the playlist is rotating out. We're getting multi-team rotating back in. So if you want to play some multi-team Regicide, then here's your opportunity. With the new playlist update, they're going to have another community play date for the new matchmaking update. So that's going to be on November 11th from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. So if you're up at that point or if you're out of work, which I guess everyone should be pretty much at a specific time, Pacific time, then hop on. You have a couple of gamer tags that you can use to find people, and they're on the website. Bravo's on there, Jess is on there using the Halo Waypoint gamer tag, a couple other people as well. So check it out, November 11th from 7 to 9 that is on Monday, of course, this coming Monday. So, last on the bulletin before the screenshots of the week, just a couple of Halloween costume-related things, kind of picking up from last week. We have Josh Holmes dressing up as Eastbound from Eastbound and Down Kenny's Powers. So that's he sports it pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
The wig and the mustache is interesting. At least I'm guessing that's a wig.
I hope it's a wig.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a wig. I don't think he would have grown his hair out that quickly. Lame of Thrones, I thought that was pretty funny. So, unknown as Pac-Man. And that's actually not as Pac-Man. That's one of the ghosts. So that got mislabeled, apparently. Yeah,
apparently people don't know about Pac-Man. I guess Bravo put out the bulletin, so...
Yeah, that's...
His knowledge of Pac-Man is lacking.
Is, yes. What is your problem, Bravo? Oh my gosh.
Too busy playing table hockey. Playing foosball.
Table hockey.
I was thinking, like, which one was it? But it was a foosball. Apparently he's a foosball champ, as evidenced at our RTX event.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So this is the... Was it the first night or the second
night? Second night.
So it was Friday night.
Yeah.
So we were out with the Waypoint crew, and we stopped by this bar, and it was one of those that they had pool tables, foosball tables, and a couple other things there with arcade machines and everything. And Bravo is a beast at foosball. Oh my gosh, he's like a pro, just in disguise. So
yeah, man, he just goes beast on that foosball.
Just do not challenge him in foosball, whatever you do. It was kind of scary after he had that bounce off the side goal.
Yeah, that was crazy stuff happening that night.
It was ridiculous. Anyways, next we have Vic DeLeon as Life Aquatica's Steve Zizou. He sports a suit pretty well, actually, believe it or not. And then we have CJ Markham's prized pumpkin.
Woo!
Which
it's a good looking pumpkin.
Is that supposed to be...
It's a pumpkin inside of a pumpkin, I think. Or it's some kind of gourd inside of a pumpkin.
That's crazy.
Like, the outside is just a pumpkin that he carved up and then put the gourd inside that pumpkin. And then
but then what's inside that pumpkin? It looks like brains.
That's just the inside of that gourd.
Really? There's an inside of a gourd that looks like brains? That's kind of cool.
I mean, you can use food coloring and stuff.
Okay, I guess that's true. Still, that's pretty...
It might be
pretty cool.
Like a cantaloupe or something.
Oh, no, that looks...
No, it's not a cantaloupe.
I don't know what that is.
But it was creative.
Yeah, definitely. So, screenshots of the week is themed ODST, so lots of pretty cool ones in here. Of course, we have some of the effects being brought in here. A lot of just good natural ones that use some natural lighting in here, too. So, favorites for me would be ODST by CBW010, Fragment by Prime Ordnance, Ruin by Onyx Noble, and Prepare to Drop by Mitch Culpster. Those are kind of my four big ones that I like.
I like ODST by Kit, with the X's by his name, and Multitasking is pretty cool. But they're all pretty good this week, except for Orbital Drop Shocked Trooper. That one's just more funny than anything else, but... It's not a really good screenshot. It's just humorous in a way.
Yeah. Dropped. Yeah. Yeah, he got dropped. That's for sure.
Some good ODST picks this week. Good stuff.
Yep. So, of course, we'll use one of those as our album art. So, not much in terms of like game-specific content out for this week's bulletin, but we have the matchmaking update, which is going to... roll out the multi-team playlist for that rotational playlist. And of course, the community choice poll was multi-team regicide. And don't forget, of course, there is the 343 play date that is on November 11th from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So more information of that about that is on the bulletin, so go check it out. As far as other content from this week, we don't have too much. There are some little contest things that have been going on via the Twitter for Halo Waypoint. So every day this week, 343 has been giving out some prizes on their Twitter account for going and retweeting their daily tweet for that prize entry. So if you had the chance, they were giving away some Ford Unto Dawn stuff, some Halo 4 limited editions, and actually Wednesday on Halo's birthday, they gave out one of the Halo 4 diecast pieces that would just are, well, they're now on pre-order right now, and they're $300 a pop. So it's ridiculously priced, but it's pretty cool. I'm pulling it up right now for the folks in the stream, but it's something that I'm contemplating on getting. I'm not sure if I want to get it yet, but it's really cool diecast figurine that's the Halo 4 stance. So the box art for Halo 4, if you remember that, it's pretty much Chief in that pose, so it's really cool. And it's up on the stream now for everyone that is watching at home live. So it's for the lucky winner over there. I'm a little envious, but of course, I don't think I tweeted out yesterday, so I wouldn't have won anyways. But there was that for Wednesday, and Monday through Friday for the rest of the days, it's Ford and Dawn posters, and I think they were giving away some of the DVD or Blu-ray, well, maybe Blu-ray and DVD stuff, and then the Halo 4 limited edition and a couple other things as well. Yeah. So there was that going on throughout this whole week. There was also a little giveaway that BS Angel did on her personal Twitter. So every hour on the hour for Wednesday, at least Pacific time, she tweeted out some codes that could have been map pack codes, avatar codes, anything that was Halo related. And she gave out, I think, two or three every hour. So if you were watching her Twitter closely, then you probably had the chance to snag a couple codes. There were some other accounts giving away codes as well, I think. Rukari gave out some codes. Xbox may have given out some codes, I'm not sure, but there was definitely lots of code giving out yesterday. Lots of happy birthday celebratory greatness, so to speak. So if you got a chance to win one of those codes, then good job. If not, then I guess you were trying to celebrate Halo hopefully in some other way.
The Halo I tried birthday, to get a code. I was Did waiting you? On BS Angel's codes. No, like they were gone within 20 seconds of her putting them out. And they even had the little, you know, question marks in certain parts of the codes. You had to guess it.
Yeah, they did.
They were numbers every time. But even knowing that and, you know, inputting the numbers as quickly as I could, I was still unable to get one. So they had a ton of people out there just trying to get in there and snipe up one of those codes. So if you got one, lucky you.
Yeah, there are some like code redeeming fiends out there that just can scour codes like it's no one's business and redeem them instantly.
Oh yeah. So fun times on Twitter though for Halo's birthday.
Yeah, of course.
Speaking of Twitter, congratulations for making a whole bunch of money. don't lose it, Twitter.
Yeah, that was today. That was ridiculous. I'm kind of wishing I invested a little bit in it before it decided to skyrocket today. What did it start out as?
I have no clue. I just know it started out lower than it ended, and now it has more money. People thought that they were going to get screwed over on it, just like they did Facebook, but nope. Yeah. Twitter just seems like a better commercial venue than Facebook.
I personally like Twitter a lot more.
I mean, just in terms of marketability, you know, making money off of it.
Yeah, it's an interesting venue or venture to make money off of social websites like that. I know for Twitter you have like the promoted posts and there's companies that can push stuff out to other people, but I don't really know how all that works. And this is a Halo podcast, so I'm gonna go back to Halo.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying that Halo and Twitter have combined in ways that you know, 4 years ago, I wouldn't have told you that they would have. I mean, nobody would have thought that we'd be using Twitter for the majority of our community interactions. I mean, think about how important Twitter is to the Halo community. I mean, we have access to, you know, different developers. We have access to the development studio Twitter account itself. We have everybody in the community that uses Twitter to argue and, you know, to kind of figure out when we want to play games and do stuff like that, you know, collaborate.
Yeah, you bring up a good point with that, too. It does seem like we have a lot more access to the developers. And it's not completely instant, like, contact like you would have with an email address or a text message or something, but it makes the interactions between the developers and the community members a lot easier, so to speak. So that's kind of cool. Of course, all the Halo birthday wrap-up for the festivities and everything is going to end on Friday. So if you're listening to this on the live stream, then you have one more day to win stuff. And by the time you're probably listening to this in recorded version, then all that stuff is probably already done. So, sorry. We did mention some of the stuff last week. I don't think we knew that there was going to be the daily Twitter giveaways, or if they announced it, then we missed it in the bulletin, which is, I don't remember seeing it, but I could have missed it. But we did know that there was going to be the one-day playlist and a couple other things going around for the birthday. So, if you had a chance to play in the playlist, cool. Go enjoy the emblem once it comes out. If not, then, I don't know, keep on playing some Halo 4.
Yep.
Apparently, yesterday was Repopulate Halo 4 Day. When I was playing with some of the RUO crew yesterday, they said that there was some kind of organized Repopulate Halo 4 Day that was supposed to be established for the Halo 4 birthday, but...
Did it have any impact, or...?
I think just the birthday in general did have some impact. I definitely saw a increase in numbers. I don't know how much that is over the typical numbers, but I bet there was a jump. Because I saw some people that I hadn't seen play Halo 4 in a while get on Halo 4.
Did they stay on long, or did they just do it for like the one game so they could get the emblem and then quit?
I didn't really pay attention to it. I just saw them pop online, and I saw them playing Halo 4, and it's like, oh, I haven't seen that guy in a while. So, I don't know, to be honest.
I wonder at this point, could you raise Halo 4's population significantly and then keep it there? I mean, I realize it's never going to have, like, release day numbers. But what kind of community initiative could get those population numbers back up, if any?
Community initiative? You can just have people, like, organize tournaments and play dates, but I know for the competitive crowd, they're looking more for that money endorsement. But I can see some of the pros just get on Halo because it's fun, but there has to be a venue that kind of facilitates that. And I don't think right now there's any kind of tournament or clan system that kind of facilitates that. Griffball Hub, one of the reasons why they are, I think they keep their teams coming back over and over and over again, is because they have that established tournament style and they have that seasons established, and people just want to come back and play the same thing over and over again. I think if we had something like that for just the normal competitive stuff that wasn't necessarily something like an MLG or an AGL where there was payout, but just have a chance for people to come have fun and keep on practicing, I think that'd be kind of a good way to help keep some of the numbers at least. That's my own personal opinion. Other than that, though, a lot of the Halo experiences in the past, like in Halo 3 and Halo Reach, a lot of them were driven off of customs and how much fun you had in those custom game lobbies. I want to say that's probably a good third, if not maybe half of the community out there for Halo, whenever they get on to play, it would be for customs. And then the other half would be for the online matchmaking, but the online matchmaking is completely up to 343. So as far as what the community could do, it'd be either really improve on customs and host a lot of custom game nights, or do something where we bring back a kind of just a fun tournament style or season thing for Halo. And I'm actually, with the site revamp for Potacular, I'm hoping to get some staff on that. We might be able to do something like that, especially with the I mean, no offense, but with the recent AGL snafu, it kind of makes way for something like this to come up. So there's thoughts that's been going around in my head for doing something like that, and I've been wanting to ask a couple people what they would think of doing something like that, because in the day, a little particular history for you guys, we had clans for Halo 2, and when the clan system was out there, we had recreational clans. I believe we had six of those, and then we had two pro clans that we would go and compete against some other clans that were in Halo 2 at the time, and then we had the All-Stars. So it's definitely possible for a system like that to work, and we had our own seasons, and I don't know, Brent, you probably know a little bit more about this than I do, but we had the summer tournament that was kind of the big thing for Podtacular back in the day.
Oh, yeah. The tournaments were always big back in Podtacular. I mean, that was even kind of concurrent with the MLG days, when MLG was... I mean, the popularity of professional gaming kind of corresponds with how popular competitive gaming is, you know, just amongst the normal people playing. I mean, I realize I could never play MLG, but I was much more interested in playing MLG game types, you know, back when the MLG was a exciting thing that was happening. So yeah, anytime you can foster that competitive atmosphere, it's better for the game. But you gotta have the people. The people have to be there. And the problem is, generally, people are only playing one game at any given time, so that's the game that the competitive leagues kind of want to go with. That's the one they want to use in their tournaments. So hopefully, right, Halo 5 will give professional gaming leagues a reason to pick it up.
Well, I think...
adopt it as the main kind of game they play.
Yeah, and we've had a lot of discussions here on the show, and I've had plenty of discussions with other Halo fans, and 343 is kind of in the position where they have to do the right thing, and they know what they need to do, and they just need to execute on it. If they execute it well, and they bring a lot of the stuff back to kind of the core Halo experience that people are looking for, then you're going to have a project that a lot more people are going to be able to get on board with. So as far as having a game that will cater more to the pro players, I think it's definitely possible. 343 has the ability, and there's the history there with the Halo games where they can go back and look at what people liked out of all the games. And we'll have a couple of podcasts, of course, coming up, probably December timeframe, that we'll talk about stuff we like from all the games and stuff that we didn't like from all the games. So,
yep.
We have a submission this week that we'd like to read off. Yay, one submission. And we did have the question of the week from last week, although I only saw one response on Twitter. So, you guys, listeners, you're lacking. You're lacking your duties. Why? Anyways, Brent, you want to go ahead and read the submission for this week?
Yes, I will. The submission for tonight comes from Tom M. Hey, guys, great job on the Glasslands podcast. Being a huge fan of the Halo canon, the novel podcasts are always interesting for me. I wanted to bring up something that has come up a lot in the podcast and in Halo campaign discussion overall. This is the topic of the Halo 4 campaign being a difficult jump in point for players that have not read the novels. I definitely feel that 343 made it super difficult for those who have not consumed the literature to understand what's going on with the plot. As someone who's read the books, I appreciate them rewarding the readers, but still felt it was too much. I have an idea for what they could do for Halo 5 that would help players better grasp the story, and I wanted to share it with you guys so you could see what you think about it. I was thinking that before Halo 5, 343 could create a visual guide of the novels that will be impacting the campaign for those that didn't have the time to complete them. This could be done in the style of the Halo CE anniversary terminals, or in a more or less detailed manner. Either way, I think this would help those players that want to get a better grasp on the story do so without having to read all the novels. This could even be something that 343 could reach out for the community for. I know that there's a ton of people who would love a chance to create something like this. They could maybe even make it a competition of some sort. Either way, I think it would be great to have some sort of visual summary promoted so that those players can enjoy the Halo campaign without feeling punished that they missed something. Even just covering the Kilo 5 and Forerunner trilogy would be a huge help for these players. Sure, these players could go just read some summaries on the Halo Wiki or elsewhere, but I think it should be something that 343 promotes for the players or so the players know that it's something that will definitely enrich their campaign experience. What are your thoughts on this?
That's an interesting thing, because there's so many different facets to the Halo universe, and there's you don't want to necessarily overlap efforts from one piece of content in the universe to another. So while it may be interesting to see some of the books in visual form, I don't know if it's the best use of resources. Now, if they're doing like a summary, that may be a little bit better, but I wouldn't go and do a whole... Well, I guess he said visual summary in here, not like a full out visual reproduction of the book. So yeah, I guess that would be fine. But I think having the cross of content like that is, I feel it's something that they're not really keen on doing. I think they want to kind of keep that separate to a point where the novels, if you want to read those stories, you go there, and then you have the games, and you have this Halo Initiation, the Sarah Palmer comics that have been coming out, and then you have Spartan Assault. So there's all these little different tidbits of information that you get from all these different kinds of media sources. You have Ford Under Dawn as well. There's the video thing, or the movie thing that we have so far. So it'd be cool to have kind of the summary. I think that it'd probably be beneficial to a lot of people. I just don't know, or I don't see them necessarily doing that pretty soon.
Yeah. I definitely think the books should have an impact on the story of the main game. I mean, then that should be a collaborative effort between the author and 343, obviously, but...
So here's the thing, though. And I was talking with this with Beowulf and Drax, both from Media Live last night, while we were just waiting in the Halo lobby. And one of the things with how they implemented the campaign for Halo 4 was that you missed a lot of the stuff if you didn't read the books. There were lots of little details that you missed and questions that got raised that weren't answered whenever you played the game and had no knowledge of what was covered in the Forerunner trilogy or the Kilo 5 trilogy. So there's this kind of isolation from the people that just go in and play the games and have the campaign story there, that you didn't have that information filled in. And one of the things that I believe that they screwed up with the campaign is that specifically, where you isolated and left some of the players that probably really enjoy the campaign and the story of Master Chief and only get it through the games and just kind of left them in the dark. And it's okay to drop things into the campaign that, if you read the books, enhances the experience, but the experience should not be dependent on whether or not you read the books. And I think Halo 4 kind of made the mistake of having that prerequisite.
Yeah, I mean, what happens is Halo 4 was supposed to answer questions that the book series, you know, kind of sets up. But if you go into Halo 4 having not read those books, you're basically getting answers for questions you didn't even know you were asking. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, they're giving you these answers, but you have no context. I mean, you have no idea why the stuff happening in front of you is significant. So, I mean, the only reason I had any idea about what was going on in the story with Halo 4 is because I host a Halo podcast. I have to, you know, even though I haven't read the books, I've read all the synopses on all of them. You know, I have a basic idea of what happens in the Halo universe. So, I mean, that part, the story was a little confusing in Halo 4, but it was probably way more confusing for people who are not as, you know, dedicated to the Halo canon as I am, you know, the franchise itself.
Exactly.
So I can imagine, I mean, if I was frustrated with not understanding some of the story, I can imagine, you know, Joe Blow Gamer, who, you know, he's just played Halo his entire life, but he's not a super fan, and he gets Halo 4. You know, I mean, he's used to Halos 1 through 3 having a fairly, you know, those stories aren't hard to understand. If you play them, you don't have to read the books to understand anything about what's going on in that story. But then you get Halo 4 and all of a sudden they're like, well, if you don't have this, you know, prerequisite canon in your mind, you might not enjoy this as much as other people. And that's disappointing for a lot of just general gamers.
Yeah, pretty much. So it kind of sucks, but I think it's something that they need to change for the next Halo game, for sure. They make sure they don't alienate any of the people that go and play the campaign.
they alienated me by not focusing on the Covenant conflict. You get it? Because aliens alienating?
Yes, I got it. That was pretty good. it was good.
No, it wasn't. It was forced, but
yeah.
Given more time and effort, it might have been a decent joke.
I think if you didn't point it out, it might have been a little better.
Yeah.
Aw, well, Godzilla just said lame, so yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a delay on the broadcast, so
yeah.
I acknowledged it was lame before you did.
I mean, I thought it was clever, personally, but then again, I find stuff kind of funny relatively easy in some situations, so.
My joke alienated people.
Wah, wah. Okay. So that's the only submission that we had for, well, this was actually a submission from last week, but we postponed it to this week. As for the question of the week for last week, we asked if you wanted to put a subtitle to any of the numbered Halo games, what would you put them down as? And we only got one response on Twitter.
That's actually disappointing, man, because it was my question.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good question, too, guys.
It was a great question. I'm surprised we didn't get more answers out of it, to be honest. People in the chat box, why don't you write your answers down and we'll read them off? Because one answer does not suffice, especially for such a grand question as of the one Brent proposed last week.
Oh, I don't know. Well, I mean, it was an okay question.
I thought it was a good question.
Sometimes if you give people too much creative license, they don't know what to do with it. You know, it's like you stick somebody in a sandbox and they don't know what to play with. Like, people like restrictions. So maybe I should have restricted it to, like, Halo 1 or Halo 2, like, pick the game and made people subtitle it.
Maybe.
But other than that, yeah.
So,
with my own answers, because I probably would have had a lot of fun with that. But I was expecting other people to write in. I expected a lot more answers, you know, at least, you know, two or three.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, dude, definitely. But anyways, we got one for... All right. The Twitter response, and it came from Halo Fan for Life. So he writes, Halo 2 would be Battlefield Earth. Halo 3 would be Finish the Fight. Well, duh. And then Halo 4, he said, An Ancient Enemy Arises.
Weekend at the Didax.
Was it An Ancient Enemy Awakes or Arises? I guess it was Arises because it was that weird... Because it threw me off initially. So yeah, so Battlefield Earth, I kind of like that one because you start off on Earth, you're defending Earth, and then you go out and then you come back at the very end of it. So that makes sense. And then Halo 3 finished the fight. Well, that was the motto for Halo 3. And then Halo 4 and Ancient Evil Arises, that was the motto for Halo 4. So, I mean, as kind of the de facto, is that those make sense. I didn't think about this too much either because I was expecting a lot more responses, so I guess we're kind of both caught with cold feet on this one for this week, but let's see. Thinking things out here, Halo 2, you could almost do something along the lines of something with the Covenant because you got to play as the Arbiter.
Arby's Revenge.
Arby's Revenge. I'll let you take that one. How about that?
Roast beef special.
You can almost do like Halo 2, A War on Two Fronts. Because yeah. You have kind of the civil war that's going on within the Covenant ranks, and then you have the war that's actually going on between the Covenant and humanity, UNSC. Pins Halo writes Halo 2 Schism. Yep.
Halo 2 Ghosts.
Ghosts?
Yep.
Oh boy, we're okay, we're entering dangerous territory. Abort, abort.
No, man. I mean, that's the fun part about podcasts, going into dangerous territory. Just take this car around.
It did come out this week, and I have been playing it a little bit. So, yes, I know. I'm playing Call of Duty. Yes, I know. Shun me now. Shun me now.
I'm not even going to justify you with a response. It's shameful.
I got to check out the competition, dude.
It's shameful, man.
I'm sure there's plenty of people at 343 that have bought Call of Duty as well.
Yeah, but they have an excuse.
So I have an excuse.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there's going to be another Halo and Call of Duty debate that's coming out, and probably Battlefield in the mix somewhere, too.
Well, if the reviews are any indication, this Call of Duty wasn't one of the better ones.
See, So Drax said that to me last night, and I've honestly only played the half of the campaign. I've started with the campaign. I haven't entered the multiplayer yet. And Drax said yesterday that there was a lot of people complaining on how bad the multiplayer is. So I honestly don't know how good or bad it is at this point. So,
well, it's Call of Duty, so it's obviously bad. But how bad is it?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Well, I'm joking. I
understand why people like Call of Duty. I do. I get it. They like that cinematic. They like movies. But they should stick to movies. They should go watch an action film instead of wasting their life playing Call of Duty.
You're talking about the multiplayer. The multiplayer is cinematic?
I'm talking single player. Single player is a very important, but I'm not talking about multiplayer. That's a different story. The Call of Duty versus Halo multiplayer debate would take up at least half of an entire podcast episode.
No, it would take up more than an entire episode. It would definitely take up more than an entire episode, hands down. But anyways, back onto the subtitle things. RJD, who joins us regularly on the live stream and the Wacky Wednesday, he writes in that Halo 2 cut short, Halo 3 Arby and the Chief, and then Halo 4 Casual Friday. I'm not sure. Well, okay, Casual Friday would make sense because it was more geared towards the casuals and pushing out units and rather the core experience. So yeah, that makes sense. Arby and the Chief is yeah, that's another kind of one of those no-brainers as well. Pins Halo also writes, Halo 2, the broken TV. So, that's kind of all we have tonight, really. Unless we just want to go on some random Halo tangent. But as far as what we have to cover tonight, that's all I pretty much had planned for. A couple of administrative notes, though. We have, we've gotten a couple of donations, actually a couple from the same person. So we actually have one person that donated a couple of weeks ago, or one week ago, actually. I don't know if I can say his name out. He didn't say in here whether I could or not, but he donated $3, and he's from Poland, believe it or not. So we are reaching all the way out to Poland for this podcast. So thank you for donating. We appreciate it. If you don't mind having your name read on the podcast, send me an email and I'll let everyone know who did it. Because the name that's submitted here is definitely not a gamer tag. I don't know if you have one or if it's someone that I play with on a regular basis even. I don't recognize the name at all. But if you want your gamer tag read out, you made two donations for a total of $3. So yeah, let me know. But thank you for donating and helping support the podcast. And if you guys want to help out as well, you can find the little donate button on our homepage. There's a PayPal button on the right-hand side when you go to podtaggler.com. So if you want to help the show out that way, feel free. We do pay for the website and everything else out of pocket so far. So if you're willing and you feel the need to kind of help give financially and fiscally, then it would be appreciated. A couple of other things. If you guys remember from a few shows way, way long time ago, then you'll know that I am currently working on a series called The Halo Mole with one of my friends, Jack Fire Dragon. And we have been releasing videos for the last week for our first looks at some of the players that will be competing or that have already competed in the Halo Mole series. And we're in production mode at this point, getting some of the content out and getting videos out. So those are over at thehalomole.com. So I encourage you guys to go check it out. Go help support him and me through this effort. It's a kind of a shoot off of the Mole TV show that premiered in the U.S. in 2001, and it premiered in the U.K. in 1999. So if you guys remember that show or have heard of it, then it's essentially that in Halo. So we're hoping people will enjoy it. We may be able to work something out with Waypoint to get it up there. We're still not at that point quite yet because we have to produce a couple of shows initially for them to review and say yay or nay to. But when we get that done, if it gets approved, then you may get to see it actually on Waypoint proper. So we're hoping that it turns out to be something that a lot of people will enjoy and kind of give a new definition to machinima, or at least the way you can use machinima. So, another thing to kind of cover real quick is Ricochet Hub has opened its doors officially as of a couple weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. The actual site, the homepage was, I think, officially opened on October 25th or October 24th. So a couple of weeks ago, and I'm over there kind of helping them play test some of the maps and go through some of the settings and all that stuff to help set up their initial league and everything. So if you guys are looking for a reason to keep on playing some Halo and really enjoy Ricochet and like that kind of gameplay and style of Halo, then I encourage you guys to go check it out and possibly participate in the league that will be coming up soon. So I already have a team, and it looks like it's going to be a pretty good one, although it sounds like there's a couple of other ones that may put our team to the test, but I think our team's going to do well. So, but beside the point, go check out Ricochet Hub. They're the sister site for Griffball Hub, and we're good friends with them over there, so definitely go check them out. As far as stuff to talk about tonight, I think that's it. One thing I wanted to bring up last before we completely wrap this up is we have a couple of comments, and I should be a lot better at doing this, guys, and I'll try to make a better effort at going through the comments and reading them out on the show, but we have one that got posted a couple of weeks ago that I want to just kind of go through, and this may spark a conversation that we'll talk about here for a few minutes. But this comes from episode 393 when we talked about Halo 3 being free. And this comes from Faestro. And he writes, okay, guys, since you brought up so many good points and memories with Halo 3, I feel the need to post a few comments here and hopefully you have an opinion. First, I did post, and it's still on their website, how Halo 3 would end. I posted a theory and it was right. Basically, I posted that the Master Chief would have to pass through a portal to activate something and would not be able to return in order to save Earth. Not perfect, but essentially right. Not sure why all the things pointed to that. I came to my final conclusion after reading an article from someone who saw the game prior to release. They did not reveal the final story, but they said it was sad, but not in a Halo 2 kind of way. Go figure. Second, you talked about the Believe campaign. I also felt and still feel it was the best ever in gaming history. My issue comes with how they had soldiers who were clearly in their 60s and maybe even 70s saying they never saw the Master Chief again, yet he returns to Earth in Halo 4. I suppose they can cover it by saying the fact that he was found. Was never released to the news, but oh, okay. So he was found, but it was never released to the news. But really? Hey, the guy who saved the planet should at least get a damn parade. Even in Halo 4, his heroic... I should have grammar checked this before reading it. Even in Halo 4, his heroism was pissed on by some other people. Every human should be kissing his boots, yet no one says crap about him, except I appreciate what you did in the past. Halo 5 better address it. Even in Halo 2, he got a damn medal. Third, and finally, Brent had it right. I too even remember driving in my car and for whatever reason having this feeling of nervousness about what the Covenant uncovered and what it meant for planet Earth as if it were real. It was then I had to take a step back and say, oh, okay, this is a freaking game, get over it. That announcement trailer was the absolute best ever made. I did get booted from Bungie.net for a while because I was arguing with one of their employees that the announcement trailer was not seamless like they said, because in one of the scenes there was banshees flying over the portal and then in the next scene they vanished. Oh yeah, that may be running an engine, but clearly it was cut and edited. I was booted because they did not like that. Many posts asking about it vanished. Interesting. I personally didn't see that, but anyways. So, interesting opinions there about Halo 3. I don't know about calling the ending like that would really be that much of a surprise, especially if you were told by someone who had previously played the game and then kind of gave you a hint about it. But Anyways, I think a lot of the stuff from the promotional side of Halo 3 just kind of did some things right with getting you hyped for the ending. For what we thought the franchise was going to be for the trilogy, just the ending of that trilogy. They did a good job of hiding it. They did a good job of promoting it and really getting people enticed to what they were going to be able to play. So there was that. And as far as some of the promotional stuff that they did for Halo 3 and the clash with Halo 4, we've seen 343 pull a lot of clashing things with the fiction, and there's definitely going to be more clashes, and damage control for Halo is going to get to being a very busy business for 343, or they're not going to worry about it too much. So I'm not sure what exactly their plans are for something like that, but we have seen that, at least if you've read the Kilo Vibe books, that Halsey is technically dead. And to everyone's knowledge, in Halo 4, she doesn't exist anymore. But we know from the games that she exists. So, I mean, the UNSC and Oni may be trying to keep it hidden that the Chief's alive, too. So it may be something to where they don't want Halsey's shining glory to come back and kind of justify her means. There's a lot of things that could be controlling from the universe aspect, controlling the situations where we see the political propaganda and the hope of humanity kind of lie in certain political positions. Because there's still the thing going on with the Arbiter and Lord Hood, that if you've read the books, you know a little bit about that, and just kind of that dynamic, that peace that's being struggled to be kept between the elites and the humans. So there's lots of things that we don't know, and there's lots of possibilities that could be leading to reasons why these certain things happen. Brent, you have anything to add to that?
Nope.
Okay, cool. So that's going to wrap it up for the show tonight, guys. Kind of a short one for today. Actually an hour for once, believe it or not. I don't think we've had just an hour show in a long time. So I kind of like these short ones sometimes. It's a nice break from having just a long, drawn-out podcast. But as far as podcasts go, it is time to wrap up. So thank you guys for tuning in to this episode. Happy birthday again to Halo 4. And here's to another year, or at least until Halo 5 comes out. Whether that be another year out or whether that be sooner than that, here's to another year of gaming, hopefully. So we'll still be here for sure in a year's time. So yeah, it's been good. Lots of improvements that have come to Halo 4. There's still lots of things that people don't exactly agree with, but Halo moves forward, and we're kind of excited to see what they can do with Halo going from here on out. We're a little skeptical, but I know, at least personally, with the feedback that we've seen from 343, I'm excited to see what they can do and what they're capable of.
Well, Halo X-Bone is going to be a jump in hardware, just like Halo 3 was for the series. So hopefully there's going to be something really special, something exciting in Halo 5 that will get us talking, you know?
Right.
It should be a more powerful game, more powerful engine on a more powerful console.
Should be.
The Kinect features are going to be there, whether or not people will like them or whether or not they even utilize Kinect very much. We're going to have to wait and see.
Right.
Yep. I think that you should have to scream grenade every time you want to throw a grenade. Just take the left trigger out of the game.
Yeah, I'm going to say no to that one.
Grenade!
Grenade out!
Well, then you have to, you know, choose your grenade. So you either have to say frag grenade or sticky.
Sticky.
Sticky!
Or pulse grenade. Yep.
Oh, no, you'd never say that. Come on.
they have their uses. They have their uses in the right situation.
I find I use them when I don't have any other grenades. Like, that's about the only time. I understand.
You have to know how to use them. That's one of the kickers for that grenade.
Yeah.
But anyways, You can visit us at podtacular.com. That is where we call our home, and where you can download previous episodes as well. If you guys have any comments or questions or anything you want us to discuss on the show, feel free to send us a submission. You can do that by sending us an email to submissions@podtacular.com, or you can use the big green submit button on our site. Also check out our Facebook page, our Twitter page, and our Twitch stream, which we use to broadcast this podcast live on Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And we also do Wacky Wednesdays on Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time as well. So definitely check both of those streams out. And that, I think that pretty much wraps it up. I'm going to do a short outro this week because I'm happy with the short show. So thank you again, Brent, for being a lovely co-host as always. Thank you guys for the live stream, for those of you who come to tune in every week. And thank you, listeners at home, for downloading the show. Please share this with your friends. Please let us know what you guys want to hear from this podcast going out. And with that said, see you next week. Happy birthday, Halo 4.
Keep on fragging birthday cakes.